Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon.
He's miles, I'm telling you, Scotty the producer is miles from sideways.
Yeah, and it's clearly his last day before vacation because I looked at him and said, Scott, it's we're talking about the Ravens, not the Eagles.
And he went, wrong bird.
Baltimore Ravens reporter is joining us, Cordell Woodland, welcoming him back to the show from 105.7 The Fan as we begin our previews of NFL teams. L.A. Chargers open their main camp today. Other teams opening up through the weekend. Rookie camps going on. Here we go. But Cordell, welcome back to the Green Zone for another NFL season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's just start, because this is the big talk right now going into this season, is Lamar Jackson and the importance of this season to finally get to a Super Bowl. Is he sick of talking about it?
Well, he's sick of not getting it, I can tell you that. Lamar is a man of very few words. He likes to go off of his actions, and I think he understands that he's the guy that everybody around the league is looking to finally get that Super Bowl that has been so elusive for him. And to be honest with you, you look at this roster on paper, this is about as good of a roster as Lamar has had in his career. One of the best rosters on paper that the Ravens have had throughout their franchise. So they'll be under the microscope again this year as one of those teams that should be fighting for Lombardi Trophy. I think barring health, they'll be in that fight. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Lamar get it. I'm sure he'd love to see it happen. But it's just so tough to finally get that thing. It takes more than just being an elite quarterback or having a good team on paper. You need a lot of good things to fall your way, and you need a little luck as well.
Cordell, who has more pressure to win first, Lamar or Josh Allen?
I would say, and maybe this is biased because I'm so close to the situation, but I would say probably Lamar. I feel like, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar both are heavily scrutinized when it comes to getting to the Super Bowl and when it comes to their playoff performances. But I think the difference between the two is Josh Allen has kind of been given this pat on the back for losing to Patrick Mahomes more in the playoffs. And it just seems like, if Lamar loses to Mahomes, if Lamar loses to Josh Allen, it really doesn't matter. All people talk about is that Lamar lost. But it feels like when it comes to Josh Allen, he almost beat him in Kansas City a couple of years ago in that thriller that made the NFL change their overtime rules. And, well, they overachieved last year, even though they lost at home to the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So, I don't know. For me, and I love Josh Allen, I think he's a heck of a player, but I do feel like the NFL community and the national media, they give him a little bit more of a pass than they do Lamar Jackson.
That is interesting that he says that, because that's true.
Yeah, it's
Josh
it is.
Gets a pass, and people, they chew up Lamar.
But you go into a season, and he's got two MVPs. Like, Lamar's last year was statistically brilliant again.
Bonker season for him, yeah.
But you have all these quarterbacks. Like, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, all in the same conference with Lamar Jackson. And I'm probably forgetting two or three other quarterbacks who could be declared elite out of that. But this offseason, as you referenced, Cordell, is a talented team. Jair Alexander comes over from the Green Bay Packers. DeAndre Hopkins comes into the receiving corps, though he is getting a little bit older, of course, but he's 2 years removed from a 1,000-yard season. How big were those additions after the addition of Derrick Henry even last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens are in a spot that they're not used to being in at receiver, where they actually have good receivers. I mean, usually when the Ravens sign a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, even at this stage of his career, they're looking for him to produce wide receiver one, wide receiver two type numbers. And he's coming into a group that where he really doesn't need to do that. Rashad Bateman is coming off a career year. Zay Flowers is a Pro Bowl receiver. Even if you look at the tight ends, Mark Andrews, and look, he's been under a lot of scrutiny himself for the way that Bills game went for him, having the fumble, dropping the two-point conversion that really ultimately cost them the game. But he led all tight ends and touchdown catches last year with a career high of 11. Isaiah Likely is a really good weapon for them. Justice Hill was really good out of the backfield as a receiver. So I think this is a good spot for DeAndre, where he's brought in to kind of be that veteran to help mentor these young guys and to contribute. I think DeAndre's role will be specifically on third down, specifically thirds and shorts and thirds and mediums and red zone, because he's such a big body receiver. He's still one of the best contested catch receivers in the league. When it comes to Jaire Alexander, I still believe he's an elite talent. I mean, this dude is still young. He's like 27, 28 years old. His biggest issue is health. Can he stay healthy? And if he is, he's going to look like a top five corner, because that's the way he looks when he is healthy. So that was a huge one for me, because unlike the DeAndre Hopkins signing, Jaire Alexander, I mean, that's a dude that you can make the argument at his best, he might be their best corner right now. So, and that's understanding that their secondary room is filled with good players like Marlon Humphrey and even Nate Wiggins, who's going into his second year on the other side. So, yeah, the Ravens, they have made it clear they're going for it when you look at those two signings.
So you've basically set us up for the things that the team has done to get that next step, to take that next step. What concerns do you still have, Cordell?
I'm going to be honest, man. You look at this roster, every position they have at least one big-name player. So there's not a lot of concerns. But the biggest concern for me is their kicking game, and that's not one that the Ravens are used to having to worry about. They released Justin Tucker over this offseason. They called it a quote-unquote football decision. But Justin Tucker had all the allegations going on here in Baltimore, with all the different masseuses. He had been banned from multiple massage parlors. So that they had that hanging over their head. And you combine that with Justin Tucker trending in the wrong direction. Last year wasn't a great year for him. The year before that wasn't great for him either. So they move on from him, and they draft Tyler Luke, the kid out of Arizona. And they're in a different spot than they're used to being in. And Tyler Luke did not have a great mini camp. And they have other kickers. They had one more kicker come in to have a little mini kicker competition. But that would be the one for me. And I would even go as far as to say punter. And I know this sounds weird. You're not used to hearing people say, you know, punter and kicker are the biggest concerns. But for the Ravens, their position groups are so stacked. Special teams was their biggest downfall last year as a unit. They didn't have a punt returner. They basically drafted LaJonte Lester out of Colorado, who's a receiver, to be their punt returner this year. So their special teams unit as a whole, it, to me, until proven otherwise.
Cordell Woodland joining us here on the Green Zone as we get a preview of the Baltimore Ravens season. Here's my one concern, Cordell, for Baltimore. They have the Bills on the road. They have the Lions at home. They have the Chiefs on the road. They have the Vikings on the road. Later in the season, they have the Packers on the road within a very strong division themselves. How tough will this schedule be for Baltimore this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough. You look at their first six games. Like you mentioned, they start out on the road in Buffalo week four. They go to Kansas City. I think they have Detroit coming in the week before that. And then you throw in a couple of division games in there. I know Cleveland's not expecting to do much, but look, they lost to the Browns last year. So those division games are always a toss-up, and they know each other so well that the game can always go either way. But one thing about the Ravens that I will give them credit for, when they go up against these teams, these other really good teams in the league, and people talk them up throughout the week, the Ravens come out ready to play. I think back to a couple of years ago where Detroit came into Baltimore, and Detroit was looking good at that time. They smashed them. The Rams came in. They beat them. Think about that Christmas Day in San Francisco a couple of years ago. They smashed them out there. So, I mean, it just feels like when the Ravens feel threatened, when they feel like they are up against some really good competition, that seems to be when you get the best version of them. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to go 6-0 to start the year and win all of these tough games. I don't expect that. But I do expect them to go out there and make it a good game. I think they do end up beating Buffalo this time around. They smashed Buffalo in the regular season last year. I think they get them week one, but that Chiefs one, that's always a tough one to predict.
Well, Cordell, appreciate your time, and we'll run it back later on in the season. Have fun at training camp.
Yeah, it'll be hot, but I'll try to enjoy it.
That is Cordell Woodland joining us from Baltimore as the Ravens get started next week with their camp. 105.7 The Fan is where you can find Cordell's work if you are a Ravens aficionado. But it's time
for I bet you there's a lot of conversation on the sports talk down there about that schedule. What? I took a look at that, and I'm like, whoa!
I winced. I literally winced when
what
I
happened
I was like,
here.
Oof. You draw this season, they draw the NFC North, and the Bears might be better. And so you have the Lions in there and the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, one of the top divisions in football. And then you got the Bills. Now, I know, you know, the Jets and the Dolphins and the Patriots probably won't keep up with the Ravens. But then you throw the Chiefs in there as well.
Yeah.
Just like, whoo. And their own division. It's going to be a tough one. Speaking of their own division, they'll go up against Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers got more good news today. T.J. Watt, he has been signed to a monster deal, $41 million per season, becoming the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history, a defensive end. That is how important pass rushers have become in the NFL. The highest-paid non-QB is a defensive end, T.J. Watt. Of the Steelers. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Walker with you on the Green Zone. We'll miss you, Scotty.
I don't know what the hell we're going to do without him, if I'm being honest.
Holiday for Scott Vickers. He's been wearing his nice shirt today before he goes on holidays. What is that? Saved by the Bell? Is that what's going on there? That is a bright shirt. It says, feel good, I'm not talking to you for 10 days shirt.
I might wear that shirt on my way home on my scooter. It'll save me.
Are you going to rip it off his back? What are you talking
about? Just borrow it. No one's hit me on that. See me from the moon.
Meanwhile, coming up, Luke Wilson. I had a great chat with the CFL on TSN analyst. An NFL analyst on the things he could change and see change, and what he likes, what he doesn't like about the Canadian Football League. Damn, you well. Hope you're having a great Thursday as we get closer and closer and closer to another summer weekend in Saskatchewan and game day on Saturday. The pregame show at 3, kickoff at 5, as we were joking at Mosaic Stadium today. It's in a dome, so there shouldn't be a delay. And then my wise ass said, unless there's a power outage. That didn't go well with some of the members of the traveling party of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But we're waiting for a Saturday 5 o'clock start Green Zone pregame show at 3 with the Riders and the BC Lions. We were able to cut it up with Luke Wilson, CFL on TSN analyst now on Friday Night Football. Much talked about analyst over the first 6 weeks of the season, wouldn't you say, Locke?
Keep hearing his name.
Very much engaged on Twitter. And also has coined a phrase of CFL numpty. So we just needed to know if we were on Luke Wilson's numpty list.
No, you guys are not. To be honest, at this... When the original tweet came out, the hot garbage one, there are so many numpties that I kind of forgot who said what. So even if you guys are, you weren't high on that list, and that list is very fluid. You can easily get off the list.
Okay. I'm also curious on the term numpty. There was only one person in our building who had heard the term numpty before Luke Wilson, and that was our news director who was from England. And she was like very, yeah. Oh, yeah, numpty in England is someone who adds nothing to the conversation. Is that where do you have like British heritage? Is that where that came from, Luke?
No, I want to say I first heard it a while ago. Like it was a hockey slang. You know, some of the hockey guys have really good lingo. And I've just kind of carried it with me sparingly my whole life. Like I'll call someone a numpty. you know, it's funny because there's a lot of words you can describe for somebody who's useless. And in today's day and age, you don't want to say anything that's taken out of context or could be offensive to anyone. So Numpty, I thought, was a good landing spot where it, like, makes your point, similar to the person from England said, like, basically a useless individual, okay, but isn't really an offensive term by any means, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Luke, you're very active on Twitter, and the one thing that Jamie and I have talked about with respect to the conversation that you have created and generated around the CFL this season, one of the things that we have talked about is that regardless of whether you agree or disagree with Luke Wilson from TSN, it's good that the conversation is happening. It's good for the game. So we're on side with that, even if there are points that we might not necessarily agree with 100%. But there has to be moments in your life where you're just like, oh, this has to stop. Is it something that, because the engagement piece is there for you, you're going back and forth with people, are you getting a bit exhausted by the whole thing?
Yeah, I not necessarily from the, I am retired, you know, so I golf a lot. I got time on my hands. The exhaustion comes from dealing with the stupidity. It's like you read some of the stuff and you're like, this guy can't be this dumb. You know, that's where I get a little like, it's hard to fathom, you know, and what's tough is the one thing I don't think I fully understood. And I don't want to generalize all CFL fans because it's definitely not, I think it's a select few. But there's this, like, inferiority complex amongst a small amount of CFL fans where, you know, it's just everything versus the NFL. And I'm like, you know, by saying that the three-minute drive was boring in yesterday's game, that doesn't mean the two-minute drives in the NFL are far superior and better and or the rules are better.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've got to kind of, like, now tread this line of being like, okay, numpties, I've made a critique or I've made an observation. We don't need to get into our feelings now and claim that you're better than the NFL. Like, that's not the point of these conversations. So that part gets a bit exhausting. What's been fun, though, on, like, the flip side is the amount of people that have just, like, really embraced the conversation. And really want, and I think that there's been a lot, not think, I know, because they've come up to me, a lot of people who have kind of fallen out of love with the CFL in the last, call it, half a decade to a decade, and are very frustrated by what's going on at certain levels. So to be able to kind of re-engage that old fan has been kind of fun for me, and listen to kind of everybody's stories has been, I've really enjoyed it.
Luke Wilson joining us here on the Green Zone from CFL on TSN. Friday Night Football, of course, after primetime games with Jay Onright for the National Football League. So let's talk some ball. That's what we want to do here anyways, is talk about the Canadian Football League and the NFL a little bit. What does the CFL in your mind have going for it, Luke, that you because you believe more people should be engaged with this league. So what do you think they have going for it right now?
I think that certain teams have really, really talented players. Really talented players. You know, the first guy, and I am biased here, I've said this, but like Kenny Lawler to me could be on any NFL roster right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's a world class guy. You know, I look at, I know he's been hurt, but Davis Alexander in Montreal, and I know, I believe he's playing tonight. You know, he's an electric guy to watch. Makes some plays with his arms, makes some plays with his feet. I think he's got very good command of the huddle, et cetera. You know, I know, let's talk about Saskatchewan. Game, which I honestly believe is a bit of a fluke, but that offensive line, and you combine that with A.J. Ouellette, that is a very, very special unit. You know, so, and what they're doing, too, and I know Zach Fry, you know, was in at guard last week, but he's also come in when they're healthier, and they put him at tight end. So when I say what the CFL's got going right now is they've got a lot of really fun players and units in this league that are very, very talented.
One of the other things, Luke, and you've talked about this right off the hop, when that hot garbage thing, I was going to react instantly, and I'm like, wait, I'm just going to go through your mentions. And somebody raised the question, like, what are your solutions? And you said prep. and like getting more work. And I was like, yes. What are you hearing from the players on what they want to make this league better?
I think that most, and again, I don't know every player, but most of the guys I talk to, and I don't know if many guys are going to come up to me and take the other side, so I got to be fair, but most of the guys I talk to have been like, this is a fantastic read. You know, this is really what we all kind of want. But then you start asking questions. I started calling some guys I know and a couple guys I didn't know. You know, and these are private conversations, so I won't drop everybody's names, but I had a few like really big name guys get in touch. And they basically said, you know, there's a bit of a split in the league where you've got certain organizations and guys on the roster that are really locked into kind of being in there, doing more, prepping for games. And then you've got another split of guys that are like, hey, I'm here to come up here, put my 4.5 hours in, make my check, and that's it. So, you know, it's a bit of a strange situation because, to me, I look back at my experience playing pro ball, and the amount of prep work was, one, needed, but two, it was a crazy amount of time. Now, most of us like it. You know, most of us like coming into practice and being like, hey, how are we going to beat, you know, if you're Winnipeg right now, I know it's the rivals out there in Saskatchewan, but like the hottest team in the league right now is Calgary. They got us 2 weeks ago. They got after the Riders last week. Like, how are we going to slow down Vernon Adams? Like, let's drill this film. Let's try and pick up on tendencies. Let's try and see what's going on. Hey, in second and long, this is what we're going to run. We're going to throw a little wrinkle at them, see how they respond. Like, that's kind of the game now. At least I think, and I think that adds to the product. So that's kind of where I think most of the guys want the ability to have those resources, those coaches, that extra time. But it sounds like there are a few on each team that do not.
Luke, speaking of extra time, I wish we had an hour with you. We only got a bit more time with you, but let's say Stu Johnston gives you a shout and he says you get one change, make it good. And yes, getting rid of the rouge is an acceptable answer. What are you picking?
I actually, for the record, I like the rouge. I don't want to get rid of the rouge. I would adjust a small part of it. I don't love the missed field goal out of bounds, but I think the rouge is kind of cool. So that's a bit of a misconception. For me,
Luke, come aboard the bandwagon. I've been on this for 10 years. When you miss a field goal and it goes into row 10, it should not be a point.
Get rid of it.
Never.
Totally. Get rid of it.
Totally. If it lands in the field of play, we're good. But if it doesn't, you know, so I like the rouge. My biggest thing, and I'm speaking from personal and a younger demographic here, is how the quarterback sneaks kill the flow of the game. You know, the CFL prides themselves on being this very, very innovative, fun. Oh, we got the motion with the extra guy. We got the bigger field. And there was a time, you know, especially talking to some CFL historians, where all those things were true. That time is not now. And whether you want to believe that or not, I'm watching the film. There's very, very little innovative things going on in the CFL offensively right now. And part of it is, you know, if it's second and two, third and one, you come out here, you bring either, at least the Riders have a QB do it, and Tommy Stevens, or you bring in your fullback, and it's like, okay, let's just kill the flow of the game here. And some of these games I've been to have 10, 11, 12 sneaks. You know, even on the goal line, you know, it's first and goal from the two. We're just going to go up here and sneak it a couple times. So my biggest thing, and I put this online the other day, was like, hey, if it's third and short and you go under center, I think you should give up the neutral zone. You got to declare, hey, we're going under center. And at that point, and people say, oh, well, then you're going to get, you know, more punts. And I'm like, well, maybe, but I thought, according to CFL fans, they like punts. So it's a bit of a, okay, they like the punt return stuff. So isn't that, now it's not a good thing? And then my next thing is also, you're going to force OCs to be creative. And then again, I know I'm getting bogged down in the notes here, boys, but defensive coordinators, I'm going to assume, are then going to play man coverage. Hey, it's third and one. We're playing man. We can't sit off 5 yards and play zone. You're going to throw a little wider screen and fall forward. So that was one where I think that that will really, you know, not make a huge difference in the game, but all, will create some creativity, some innovation, some real fun stuff that I think would help the league instead of like, okay, let's just all take a break and let the QB slash fullback sneak go. That's probably my personal biggest gripe.
Well, Luke, we're fresh out of time. I hope you don't enjoy Winnipeg too much, and I'll try to talk to council to get 11th done for next week's Friday Night Football game when you come back.
We'll come back in about 6 years.
I am excited to come back. Yeah, 6 years. Boys, I'm excited to come back, and I hope it's not canceled. That Friday night had all the makings to be electric.
That is Luke Wilson here on the Green Zone. We got some breaking Sean Lemon news just to make me angrier. He's back, baby! Could have bet on that. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Some breaking CFL news, ladies and gentlemen, that just has me smiling ear to ear. What a glorious day in the Canadian Football League. Okay. Do you want to tell him, Locker?
Sean Lemon, who we have commented about frequently over the last couple of days on this fine program, The Green Zone, with Jamie Nye and Locker, has signed with the Montreal Alouettes. He did so an hour before the game tonight, which is your Thursday nighter. Montreal is in, Toronto's in Montreal. Davis Alexander is going for a record. Chad Kelly not playing tonight. And Sean Lemon's first of two suspensions for the drug policy that he broke in the offseason, while suspended for the gambling problems, is tonight.
Tonight counts, apparently. Tonight counts as one of his one of two game suspensions. He signed an hour before the game. I don't even think they could have been able to activate him to the lineup if they wanted to. And it counts as one of his one of two game suspensions. That's not only silly, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what's more stupid. Gambling on your own games and pretending that I didn't know the rule.
Well, or maybe Sean's just misunderstood.
Or this one. That they're going to say, oh, yeah, this counts. But now that means his first game back could be, if he plays, against the Saskatchewan Roughriders when they travel to Montreal after they play the Edmonton Elks. So there's the news you can use.